Good morning, and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. We are so glad you all are here this morning. Had a great time the first hour talking through, well, I did, I don't know if anybody else did, but I had a great time talking through the end of chapter 4 and moved into verse chapter 5, and we are going to close out 1 Peter today. Very excited about, not closing it out, but very excited about the chance to talk to charged for new responsibilities, which we will be speaking to today. Let's start with prayer, and then we'll do some songs, a song, and then we'll pick it up from there. So if you would all bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. As we open your word, we just ask the Spirit will fill our souls, our minds, with the knowledge that you want us to understand. Help us to have the strength, actually the faith, to just be able to play these things out in your will through obedience. And Father, we just thank you for this church. And we thank you for our faithful pastor who's kept teaching us and shepherding the flock for so many years. We thank you for the country that we have, that we can gather together in freedom. Father, we ask that you will guide our leaders and protect this freedom so that we may continue to learn the word in a congregation in freedom. And Father, we just thank you for all that you do for us each day and the freedom that we have, Father, through your Son. Thank you for all that you are, all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. So, Brian, would you like to lead us in a song here?
With you, would you turn to 382? Please find a hymn book and join us in number 382 is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. 382.
Lots of prayer requests to start out with. Carrie and Fassel. So please be in prayer for Carrie and Fassel. They are challenged with their adoption for little Carrie. Right now, the first adoption agency has said it's not going to happen. There's another adoption agency that they're working with to see if they can overcome some of the challenges, but they're concerned that on the Pakistan side of the equation that they are looking at things and it may not happen. So please be in prayer for Carrie and Fassel, peace and comfort This is, you know, we're talking about suffering. I can imagine that the love that they have for this young lady, that not being able to adopt her into their family, is suffering, and that's a challenge, and it hurts. Please be in prayer for Nick. Nick has not been feeling all that great the last week. He's got ups and downs. He was doing great for many, many weeks, and he started to trail off a little bit in his energy level. He's not feeling sick so much as just not much energy. It's part of something that we know he's going to struggle with at some level with Lyme disease going forward. So it's really one of those things that please be in prayer that his energy level will pick up. And in selfishness, he's supposed to go on a big hunting trip with me this weekend. So I'd like for him to feel better. So Autumn Switzer, please continue to be in prayer for Autumn. It's funny. It's not funny. But Autumn and Nick have gotten to know each other. They both go to the same doctor. We're friends with their family. They've gotten to know each other and have become what they call pain buddies. So, but it's interesting that she's kind of trails down at the same time. It's one of these things where they follow in the same kind of pattern here. But she's under a lot of stress. Physically, she's dealing with cancer. She's a freshman at Texas A&M. And she's trying to figure out all of her academics. So please be in prayer for Autumn. But also be in prayer, please, for Blake and Sean Switzer, her parents. Wonderful couple. He's the pastor of Gateway Community Church in Wiley, right up the road from our house. He is a solid teacher of the Word. He understands the gospel. He teaches the truth. And this whole thing with Autumn is just weighing on them, plus everything else that's going on. So please be in prayer for them as well, and Sean, her mom. Be in prayer for our nation. Pastor Maddox put out, continues to put out our messages and stuff, but please be in prayer for our nation. Specifically, I would ask everybody to be in prayer for Judge Barrett. She is a proclaimed Christian. She is our nominee for the Supreme Court. And she is going to come under intense persecution. It's going to be amazing to watch what's going to happen to her in this position, strictly because she's a Christian and because she's a conservative. But I would say that they are going to come after her with undertones of religious persecution like we have never seen before. So please be in prayer for her that she has the ability to stand firm in her faith and proclaim it to the world amidst this craziness. Because the world is watching, and they're going to be watching her. So every day, I will ask every day, pray for that lady as she goes through this confirmation process, which is just going to be a confirmation mess. But it's our process, so praise the Lord for that, for His being glorified in that. Praise reports, Jensen's, I think the 28th anniversary was the other day, right? Yesterday? Leslie and Jerry, 28 years, man. Leslie, you know you're young, but Jerry, wow, dude, that's a long time for you, man. Rick and Terry, 25th anniversary. Amazing. Yeah. Brian.
Yeah, but
he's
only
22. Oh. Well. Brian and Julie, 22 years. So, yeah, that's just they're just young and just barely getting going. So, making love history, y'all. And also Cameron and Addie. Their first anniversary is coming this weekend. So, that is awesome, right? We talked about it last week, or a couple weeks ago, I can't remember now, but the Christian marriage is a witness to the gospel to the world, and that is pretty amazing in this small congregation that we have folks that 20s and firsts, fantastic. Please be in prayer for Phil. He'll be teaching the next 2 weeks at least, and then we're trying to figure out a schedule after that. We were laughing, speaking of the hunting. So Phil's going to take the archery season, which goes through October, and then I'm going to pick it up in gun season. And I don't think this is the way you're supposed to do it. I don't see it in the Bible anywhere. But hey, so Phil's going to teach the next couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. Be in prayer for Phil's teaching. And continue to be in prayer for Kit, myself, and Phil as we try to step in and teach from this pulpit. A couple of public service announcements. Communion will be next week. So please come and be a part of communion with us. If you're only coming to church once a month, you know, come physically coming, next week will be a good one. We'd love to have you. If you're coming all the time, keep coming. So encouragement there. Donuts and cleaning, so sign up in the back, please. We have somebody signed up for cleaning. That would be us, the Degs, for next month. I don't know if Lori knew that, but me being gone next week. Thanks, Lori. Thanks, Ben. But we need people to sign up. Sincerely, we need people to sign up to get us through the rest of the year at least. October, November, December, so some donuts. And if you sign up, please take a look. We have an abundance of donuts. So if somebody signed up for donuts, you don't need to bring extras.
If you were signed up for June or July, we're just going to bump you over to November and December.
That would work, except we won't have any donuts and nobody will clean. So, anyway, any other prayer requests this morning before? Yes, ma'am.
Chris, Brian Wise is, he had left Saturday at 1 a.m. or so to go to Lake Charles to help with the utility trucks from the last hurricane. They were down there working in so to help with the repair. So he is down in Lake Charles, as far as I know, at this point. So prayers for him and the travel.
Prayers for Brian and that team that's going down there to help them. But especially, Brian runs hard when he goes down on his trips. I mean, I think he gets 30 minutes of sleep here and there. Otherwise, he's working. So be in prayer for Brian. Be in prayer for Tish also. Please continue for her continued health.
Brian is on the way back and very tired.
Okay. Well, there's the latest. You know, technology is pretty amazing. We get the latest and greatest prayer updates, like, on the spot. So please be in prayer for Brian. Safe travels back, considering he probably hasn't slept for a week, and now he's driving home. So be in prayer for that. End of the prayer request.
Yeah, yes, still just pray for my friends. Not for Raylan. We know she's home with the Lord. Her children, her mom and dad, her grandparents. So many people, hundreds and hundreds of people, were there at her going home celebration. But we talked with her mom and dad, and they're just, they know where she is, but their pain is so great. So just pray for their peace and their comfort. And then I have another one. My cousin that we prayed for probably last year had colon cancer. Her cancer has come back, and now it has spread. It's metastasized through her lungs. And so she's going to go through all the chemo, and just pray for her. And her daughter, just which is like in her 30s, just had breast cancer, and now she's having reconstruction. But there, we found out she did a genetic test. It's on our side of the family, so we found out that they're doing, her daughters are doing preventive, because of the cancer. So just keep them in prayer. I mean, Sharon is precious, and we just want her around for a little bit longer, but God's will be done. You know that.
Yep. Awesome. Please also be in prayer for Shannon. They are friends of my parents. I think she's mid-30s, couple of kids. She's had a bout with cancer. It has come back, and it's in her throat and neck, and so please be in prayer for her as well. Lots of prayer requests, lots of health issues, lots of suffering, y'all, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a couple of minutes, so please be in prayer for all of these. Also be in prayer for our church as a body and as a congregation. Donations. We will continue to offer the opportunity to to be a part of the financial support of our church, Grace Giving. It's not a legalism requirement. It is an opportunity to participate in the spreading of the Word of God to a world that is in desperate need. And so if you feel led to give, Leslie, I'm sure at this point, has put the link on the left on the right side of your screen if you're looking at it, for being able to donate online through PayPal. If you're here, the donation plate is in the back. Please feel free to take your gifts out of your pocket and put them into our account, because it takes money to do this stuff. And God loves a gracious giver. Don't feel like you're required or obligated, but please feel free to give as the Lord leads you to give. Any other prayer requests, concerns, issues? All right, let's pray together, and then we will start in 1 Peter. Heavenly Father, we have an abundance of prayer requests. In fact, hours and hours and hours. And Father, we lift these folks up to you, the health issues, the challenges in families, the pain that people are going through. Father, we ask for peace for Ray Lynn and her family, for Sharon, Judah's cousin, and the chemo, for Shannon. We ask for healing for Tish and for Nick. And Father, we ask for peace and comfort for Blake and Sean, and peace and just relief for Autumn. Father, we pray for our nation, for Judge Barrett. Father, we lift her up to you, that she has the opportunity to proclaim the gospel, that she has the opportunity to stand firm in her faith in the midst of this, what will be a very public persecution. Father, we thank you for our married couples who are celebrating 25 years or 28 years or even their first anniversaries together. Father, we just ask that you will continue to strengthen their marriages, that they will be a witness, their marriage will be a witness to the world of the gospel of your Son. And Father, we pray for Phil and Kit, and as they continue to teach and study and prepare for shepherding the flock from the pulpit. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We ask that your Spirit will help us to understand what is being taught. And Father, I just pray that you will help me stay out of your way and just allow the truth to be understood by all those that are hearing today. Thank you for all that you do for us, sir, in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning, we started out with a bit of a recap of chapter 4, and then we finished chapter 4 in 1 Peter. So we will be and moved into chapter 5. My intent is to get through chapter 5 and this morning, which will close out the epistle of 1 Peter, which worked out really well from a timing standpoint. But wanted to recap a couple of things. Not going to go into great detail of what we talked about this morning. But as we enter into chapter 5, we are being called to new responsibilities. So we've talked about the persecution is coming. We talked about the fact that we need to focus on who we are in Christ. We need to focus on being filled with the Spirit and preparing our minds for action and these Christ-like faith and Christ-like service and Christ-like attitude. And as we move into chapter 5, we take those things and in reference to those things as our mindset, as being oriented to God's will, we move into chapter 5 where we're asked to take on responsibilities. Responsibilities that Peter is pleading us to be a part of in the church. This was written to the new church that was under persecution and was getting ready to be under severe persecution. It's also written to us. Oh, by the way, we are getting ready to be under severe persecution. And we know that it's going to be that way all the way to the end times. We will always be under persecution because Christ was under persecution and suffered for us. And the world doesn't understand it. Go shine a light in the darkness of sin. Man, they're going to come after you with a vengeance, right? The sin is amongst us. And so, as we're called in chapter 5, we are called to be elders and to shepherd. The young men are to submit, and all is to stand firm. So this is specifically talking to the church, but as the new church, as they establish pastors that are teaching the Word of God, and as they have congregations that begin to grow, and how do we shepherd the flock? And our chief shepherd is Jesus Christ, but He provides us the ability and the authority to be, and responsibility to be shepherds to the congregation. And so we talked a little bit about this is not just the pastor teacher in this context of this particular passage. It is to the men who have responsibility of leadership in the body of Christ. We talked for a few minutes about what does it look like to be an elder? What are the qualifications? You got to bring something to the table, right? I mean, it's required to have some level of spiritual maturity and wisdom that you can provide back to those being shepherded. We talked about the qualifications out of Titus 1, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. We also spoke for a couple of minutes about ladies having spiritual gifts also. So this may be to the men and to the elders of the church specifically, but everybody in the church, in the congregation, as we talked about in previous chapters, everybody has spiritual gifts that they can bring. Teachers, encouragers, prayer warriors, works of service. And we also spoke to all these young people. They need a shepherd. They need shepherds. The young people in the body of Christ, not just them, not the other 30 that we can put up there, the pictures of, but the body of Christ, the young in the body of Christ, not of age, but of maturity. You can be 65 years old and not know anything about it. You're young from a maturity standpoint and understanding Christ. So this was a plea from Peter to his fellow elders, to ones who are going to undergo persecution, from one who has seen the suffering and understands more is on its way, to one who has witnessed the grace of our Lord, one who has seen Christ in His full glory in the Transfiguration, and one who is looking forward to the return of our Savior in His full glory. So Peter, he's not coming down and saying, commanding, you shall do this. He's pleading for the elders of the church, just the leaders in the church, to step forward and shepherd the flock. What's it mean to shepherd? Teaching, caring for, leading, guiding, protecting. Not out of obligation or financial gain, but out of love for one another. Out of love for our Savior, out of the appreciation for what He did for us, and according to His will, by His direction. So we have to understand the will of God and make ourselves available to the will of God. That's our responsibility. Available. It's His ability. It's our availability. We need to make ourselves available to Him. Obeying in faith through the leading of the Spirit. And so I challenged folks this morning in the first hour, write down the name of someone that you will reach out to this week and begin to shepherd. Who do we know? Who needs to be shepherded? That's the challenge. There's lots of reasons not to. I don't have time. I don't really know what to say. I don't know anyone. I've been sitting in my house for 9 months with COVID panic, and I don't really want to step out and talk to anybody. Then I ask you to pray. Pray about it. Pray in faith to make yourself available to the Lord. He will make it abundantly clear who He wants you to shepherd. We know the persecution is coming. We have the answer to salvation for the unbeliever. We have the answer of peace, joy, and endurance through persecution for the believer. So out of the love of our Savior, we have to tend to the needs of the flock. It is not just the responsibility of the pastor. Is not just the responsibility of the men, although we are called to lead in the church. It is the responsibility and the pleasure of every believer to serve our Lord and to tend to His family. That's what we talked about this morning and orienting us to what we're going to be picking up in verse 3. That was only two verses, so it took a little more time to go through those things this morning. But picking up in verse 3, we start with As I was mentioning this morning to everybody, I had a bunch of people give me feedback last week that they couldn't understand they couldn't follow me in my translation of the Bible. So I moved to the NIV, but this print is like this big, so now I have a hard time seeing it. So let me give you a second to find verse 3 here, and we will move forward. Chapter 5, verse 3. I'll just start in verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. This is verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So, how do we do this? How do we shepherd? We shepherd, as shepherd and overseer, not as lording over the flock in legalism and forcing our opinion on others or forcing rules and laws on others and arrogance, but with enthusiasm, love, compassion, with a Christ-like attitude. Be an example of the love, gentleness, and compassion of Christ. As we are teaching and leading, there are times to be firm. There are times to be dogmatic, but there are times to be compassionate and loving and gentle, restoring the flock through gentleness and love. Be an example of the things we spoke about in submission to authority. Y'all, it's really hard to shepherd the flock. It's really hard to teach others when they're watching you do the things you say they're not supposed to do. I mean, kids, try that one. I still have a father. My father used to say, "Do as I say, not as I do." I love my father. That is the dumbest thing that my father, I think, ever said. Right? Do as I say, not as I do. Now, he was saying it from the standpoint of he knew he was imperfect, so I'll give him a break there. And don't do the things, don't make the mistakes that I make. So, in fairness to my dad, he meant it in the right way. But do as I say, not as I do. No, do as I do and do as I say. That's the intent, right? Be an example of the things we spoke about in submission to authority. Be an example and shepherd others in your Christian marriage. These are things we talked about in chapters 1 through 4, right? It's shepherd, if you have a 28 years, 25 years, 26 years, 22 years, find a Christian couple out there and mentor them and shepherd them and teach them what it means, a wife to be submissive, a husband to be a leader, a husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church. My goodness, can you imagine if all of the Christian marriages out there who were standing firm in the truth of the Word got together with somebody else who was trying to figure out which way was up and mentored them and taught them and shepherd them? Maybe this 60%+ divorce rate within our country for Christian marriages might turn the other direction. It's our calling to be a part of that, to shepherd. Be an example and shepherd others in your Christian marriage. Teach others the Word of God in Bible studies. Find an opportunity to pull somebody in and open the Bible together. Started going to a men's group down the road from my house on Friday mornings, and it's incredible. I mean, young men, older men. The pastor, in this particular case, my friend Blake, is the pastor of that church. That's where we go down there and do that on Friday mornings. And it's just amazing to have conversations with these men who are desiring the Word and want to understand and to be able to okay, no, you're not quite going down the right path, right? Let's pull this back and let's talk. Take the things that our pastor has taught us and shepherded us for 45 years and give those back and shepherd others. Teach them the Word of God. Tend to your neighbors. Knock on their door, right? We have the opportunity this isn't some laundry list of do and do and do and do. These are things we should be doing out of love, out of understanding that Christ has suffered for us. Why should we not go out and tell the world about Him? Meet with other men and pray together. Study the Word in the Spirit. Share the Word in the Spirit. Obey the Word in the Spirit. That's how we do this. That's how we shepherd the flock. Verse 4. Because not all of us are pastor teachers. Not all of us will stand up in this pulpit. It's not just the pastor teacher standing in front of the pulpit that shepherds the flock. So in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. When Christ returns in his full glory, man, just think about that. You're shepherding the flock. The persecution is going. The suffering is happening. And you're teaching and you're encouraging and you're loving and you're pulling people together and shepherding and mentoring the flock of Christ, his flock, and moving them forward in the Word of God and understanding and standing firm. And when he returns in his full glory, he looks down and says, "That's what I was asking you to do. That's what I was asking you to do." Rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And I know Pastor Maddox has done a lot of teaching on the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to admit to you right now that there may be somewhere in the Bible, and I don't know where it is, an absolute definition of an elder specifically in the context of this. An absolute, this is, if you, then you have the opportunity to receive the crown of glory. But I'm going to tell you that what I do know is this is the Greek word presbyteros. This means, in context, those who presided over the assemblies. But the New Testament also uses the term bishop, elders, and presbyters, and ministers somewhat interchangeably. And so there are places where this word is used in other contexts than just a pastor teacher. So with that being said, I'm not just making a dogmatic statement, but I think I'm pretty safe in saying if I get this wrong, and you do all these things, and you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and you didn't qualify for the crown of glory, you can blame it on me. Okay? Because I just told you wrong. But what I do know is that trusting God, obeying God, and loving others through tending to their physical and spiritual needs will result in blessing by God. Define the crown of glory. I'm going to let Pastor Maddox spend more time on that when he returns, if he so desires. But as an elder, as a shepherd, as a mentor, what I can tell you is that whether you're a woman or you're a man, whether you are defined as an elder or a bishop or a presbyter or otherwise, you can't go wrong with tending to God's flock. We can't go wrong. The leading of the Spirit, obeying God in faith, and loving each other by tending to the flock's physical and spiritual needs will result in blessing by God at the judgment seat of Christ. That I know I'm not wrong about. So, what do we need to do? Wash, rinse, repeat. Y'all, the Christian life is really, really simple. It's just really, really hard. I mean, that's the fact. Trust the Lord, learn the Word, understand His will, wash, rinse, repeat. That's it. Younger men, verse 5, as we pick up there. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be willing to learn from your elders. Even if you're 70 years old, if you don't know anything about it, humble yourself to those that do. That's the call here. Be willing to learn from the elders. This is not an age thing. This is a spiritual maturity thing. Humble yourselves. Y'all, this is tough. I was once 19, and I knew everything. Now that I have a few more rounds of discipline from God under my feet, I realize how little I still know today. But humble yourselves. Young people, desire the Word and seek out a shepherd, a pastor, a mentor that can help guide you. It takes humility to realize that you don't know everything. And it takes a humility to realize that God doesn't care how you feel about His Word. I say that because I hear that often. Well, this is what I feel about that. He doesn't care what you feel about it. I say that in a little bit of jest. He doesn't. It's the truth. It's the Word. He's telling you, obey. Obey through faith. Do it. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves before... Humble yourselves to the elders. Humble yourself to the Word of God. Peter adds, all of you, clothe yourself in humility. So he's not just talking to the young. He's talking to all of us. Clothe yourself in humility. Believe me when I say you can humble yourself or God will humble you. I think we all know that. If we spend any time thinking and reflecting on the things that have happened in our lives, God is fantastic at humbling us when we decide we don't want to be humble. He's really good at it. He humbles me every day as I open His Word. Man, it's incredible. And I've over 20 years that I've been coming here and listening to Pastor Maddox teaching, and he would constantly say, oh my gosh, I open this up and I'm so excited, and oh, it's the most dangerous thing. And then I start teaching, and it's just, oh my gosh, I know all this stuff. No, I don't. I got through 1 Peter, and I'm like, I've read that 1 Peter a number of times, and I know the concepts, but there was so much more to learn, so much more to understand. It's humbling to open the Word of God, and that's how we need to approach it. God gives us grace, salvation, and blessing. God gives grace, which is salvation and blessing, to the humble, even in our sufferings. But He makes war against the arrogant. Divine discipline, which we talked about in 1 Peter 3:17. It is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. God will humble you, and He makes war against the arrogant. Remain humble and He will exalt you. Sorry, I'm moved to verse 6 now. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. God will exalt us. We are exalted in the return of Christ. We will be exalted to the world at His time, in God's timing, not our timing. You know, when I started with Capital One, which is my earthly job, when I started with Capital One, I had this plan laid out. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Back to the God constantly humbles me. What I realized is that wasn't God's plan. And so I didn't do this and this and this. I did a few of those things, and I got promoted, and man, I was feeling good, and I was proud of myself. And then God said, whoop, that ain't going to work. And so now, 8 years later, I've actually gone this way. That's okay. Back to, don't be ashamed. God, I mean, you know, the interesting part is, now in my office, I am so much more confident in speaking the Word and standing firm in my faith with my team, with my peers. I don't have anything to lose at Capital One. It's a great company. I'm not criticizing Capital One, but it's an earthly company. I can stand before them and go, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. You know what? The Lord has this figured out. And I found myself, especially with this COVID stuff, because I'm having a lot of these conversations with people that are in a panic. They're in a panic about COVID. Guys, Lord has it under control. And so I'm talking to these young moms that are trying to figure out, how do I take care of my family? How do I take care of my kids? How do I take, oh my gosh, and I'm just, the opportunity for me to talk to them and say, look, the Lord has it under control. And these are the believers. And there's one that's a Hindu. The conversation I have with her is amazing. If I was some exec person up here, you know what? It wouldn't happen. I wouldn't have the opportunity to talk to these people at that level and understanding who they are and what they need. And so, remain humble. He will exalt you in His time. Faith takes humility. To put our trust in the will of God requires us to put our will aside. That's faith. It's humbling to put our faith in something that we don't control. But that's what God calls us to do. It's also smart, because He's got it all under control, and no matter how much we think we have it under control, He's going to do it His way anyway. So, back to being simple. Put your faith. But it's humbling. Arrogance is when we believe our will is superior to God's will. Arrogance is believing our timing is better than God's timing. Arrogance is believing that God needs me to fix the wrong being done to me in my own power and my own anger. I'll let that one sink in for a minute. This is back to yelling at the TV. We've been wrong. I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to... Y'all, that's arrogance. Permissive will of God is allowing things to happen in this world that are happening in this world. His call to us is faith and proclaim His Son. That's it. We don't need to go fix the injustices of the world. God can handle it. God knows exactly what He is doing and when we will be exalted. Believing this in faith and humbling ourselves to His will is the battle. That's the challenge. Even in the suffering, when we think that I should be able to fix this injustice, this isn't right that I'm suffering. Look at all those people who, you know, they're not even believers and they're getting all the kudos and I'm over here getting persecuted because I'm a Christian. No, that's the way it works. He even said, persecution is coming. Stand by, stand firm. Verse 7. Cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Stop carrying the burden of the world. Put all those things aside. If you want to be anxious about something, be anxious about whether we're spending enough time in the will of the Father. And that doesn't even take anxiousness, that takes faith. Stop carrying the burden of the world, finances, job, school, marriage, kids. What's our legacy? What am I leaving behind for my kids? I'm leaving nothing. So I'm going to spend it all, right? The opinions of others. Why do you care? Why do you care about the opinions? Whatever it is, give it to the Lord. His shoulders are much bigger than ours. And He loves us. In the midst of the suffering, which is coming, don't be anxious. Turn it over to Him. Give it to Him. We were talking about this morning, it's not a battle of the physical. It's not a battle of the body. Suffering is in the soul. The suffering of Christ was not the physical, yes, He physically suffered. That wasn't the part that was excruciating. It was when the sins of the world were poured out onto His soul. It's a battle of the soul. Turn it over to God. Don't let the things of the world, the anxieties of the world, weigh you down. Turn them over to God. I think about, that we've taught before, I think about Peter jumping out of the boat. As long as his eyes were fixed on Christ, he was walking on the water. Now, it didn't matter what came up. It didn't matter if a storm came up, the waves came up. I mean, in and of itself, you start thinking about this. He's walking on the water. How can you lose sight of the... I mean, who cares about the waves? At this point, you're walking on water. It shouldn't be happening anyway. Why are you worried about the waves? What ends up happening to every single one of us? When we're walking on the water, our eyes are focused on Christ. We're staying filled with the Spirit. We're studying the Word of God. We're turning over our anxieties to the Lord and giving them over to Him. And then what do? We start focusing on the waves. We start focusing on our circumstances. We start focusing on the things of this world. Turn them over to Him. Because what happens as soon as we do, we start to sink. What happened to Peter? He stopped looking at Jesus and he started to sink. Starts looking at the surroundings and all the suffering that could possibly happen. And y'all, most of the time our suffering is the potential of suffering. It actually causes more anxiety than the suffering itself. Right? I mean, think about it. Most of the time, the worst thing that could ever happen is what's in your head, not actually what happens. And so, cast those things aside. Right? As soon as he looked at his circumstances, he sank. If you find yourself sinking in the suffering, just fix your eyes back on Jesus, and He will reach down and pull you up. As we shepherd the flock, as we humble ourselves before the Lord, when we find ourselves overwhelmed with the circumstances, put our anxieties aside, give them to Him, and focus our eyes on Jesus. Focus our eyes on the Lord. Stay filled with the Spirit. Prepare our minds for action. Humbling ourselves may involve looking like a fool to the world as we cast our cares on Him, and it will. You walk out here and you know your house burns down. You're in California, your house burns down. You've lost everything you own, and you say, "Good, you know, God be glorified in all of this. It's the will of God." Man, what a fool. What an idiot. You just had that insurance that I told you to get, right? Which you probably should have. But that being said, we don't conform to this world. God will exalt us in His time. At the return of Christ, at a minimum, we will be exalted at the return of Christ, if not before then. He loves us. Stay focused on the fact that our Savior loves us. Verse 8. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And in verse 8, sorry, again, small print. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Keep your mind prepared for action, filled with the Spirit, studying the Word of God, sober in spirit, clear-headed and grounded in the Word. And here is the point. The adversary, the devil, continuously prowls looking for believers to devour. We are part of the angelic conflict. It's not about the world. It's about the angelic conflict. Let's not lose focus on the part of the true underlying root of what we're trying to do here. We are a part of the angelic conflict. There is a much bigger battle going on here, and we are right in the middle of it. Or we should be. We should be right in the middle of it. As an ambassador for Christ, we have the opportunity to be a witness for the prosecution in the divine court of appeals. We won't get into all that. Maybe that's something I'll do at another time. But it's the court, right? It's the appeal trial of Satan, and we can be a witness to the prosecution. Satan is appealing his judgment of the eternal damnation, and every time we stand firm in our faith, the creation humbling himself to the will of the Creator, then another piece of evidence is presented to the righteous judge. When we lose sight of the fact, or when we start focusing on all the circumstances of the world, we need to pull up, put our eyes back on Him, and remember that we are in the battle of the angelic conflict. That is where we are a witness. We don't see it all happening, but it is happening. And oftentimes we lose sight of that. And honestly, I don't think it's taught enough in enough churches, because people don't understand it. They don't know it.
Yeah.
They don't get it. And I feel for them, because, man, when you start to really understand the angelic conflict, all this stuff starts to make sense. God's will all of a sudden becomes illuminated from the standpoint of, I'm in the middle of this thing. How awesome. I, as a humble, well, hopefully humble most of the time, but as the creation, as this little itty-bitty nothingness in the world of the universe of God, I have the opportunity to be a witness for God in the prosecution of evil. Satan will be coming ill, by the way. When you do that, when you stand firm and you humble yourself and you're filled with the Spirit, Satan will be coming after you for serious persecution. Serious persecution. The decision point here is, do you want to be in the game or sitting on the sidelines? You want to be in the game? Stand firm in the suffering. Feel the fool of the world telling you how much of a fool you are. Stand firm. In verse 9, that's exactly what it says. Resist him. Resist the devil coming to devour you. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Stand firm. Resist the evil one by standing firm in your faith. Keep your eyes focused on the things above. Rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that it strengthens the endurance of our faith. Take comfort knowing that the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, will be suffering as witnesses in Christ. We're not alone. When we talk, you know, I love the analogy that Pastor Maddox uses. You get in the game. You want to be sitting on the sideline? You want to sit on the bench, or do you want to be in the game? Well, the game includes a team. The team is the Christians and the believers throughout the world that are fighting the battle. They're on the field. We are part of that. We can be a part of that, or we can sit on the sidelines and watch. But take comfort. Take comfort knowing that there is a team, the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, who are suffering as witnesses also. They're in the angelic conflict. They're fighting the battle. I love the voice of the martyrs. The Christians who are under severe persecution throughout the world are praying for the Christians in America, because the light's going out. We can be in the battle. We need to be in the battle. And we need to shepherd. We need to mentor this group of people to be next in line, to be the witnesses, to be a part of this. They get the pleasure, the opportunity to be a part of this. And so, picking up from verse 9, oh, sorry. This isn't rejoicing in the misery of those, you know, the old misery loves company. That's not the point of this taking comfort in the body of Christ as they suffer. This isn't rejoicing in the misery, but rather recognizing that there is an army of believers that are suffering in the name of Christ and will share the glory of Christ at His return. Can you picture this? Here's the army throughout the world. Christ returns and the army comes to Him and returns with Him. We are not alone. We are on a team, not on the sidelines, but in the game. We just have to trust the Lord, endure the tribulations by putting our faith in the Spirit. Picking up in verse 9, resist him, the devil, standing firm in the faith. The God of all grace, our focus is in suffering is the fact that our God is a God of grace who loves us. The suffering is only for a little while we are on earth. The suffering goes away when we're done here on earth. But we are being called to eternal glory, sharing the glory of Christ for eternity. Stand firm in the faith. God will restore you from the suffering. Think about that. God can restore us from the suffering. And remember what we were talking about. The battle is not physical. The battle is our soul. How can God restore us from the suffering? Take us home to be with Him. Death is not a bad outcome in the midst of suffering. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, death is a relief from all suffering. Don't worry about death. How would it be to live our lives not worrying at all about what could happen to me in this suffering? I could die. I think of Wormbrand. At any point, he could have died. And he knew it. When his wife said goodbye and he was taken off for 13 years in the prisons, I guarantee you his wife was not thinking she was going to see him again. That's not a bad thing. Death is not a bad thing. It's total relief from all suffering. Strengthen your faith through the suffering. Faith in the Spirit will allow us to be firm and steadfast in the suffering. That was verse 10. I think I forgot to read it. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And then in verse 11, to Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Praise be to God from which all the power comes from. He is the King. He is sovereign. He gets to make the decisions. We get to go along for the ride. Or we can resist. We cannot do this on our own. We can't be a witness in the prosecution in our own power. That's not the witness He's looking for. We can't get through the suffering glorifying God in our own power. That's not the point. Seek God and remain filled with the Spirit. Learning the Word of God, seek with all your heart the understanding of the Word and prayer. God says pray continuously. That's how we get through the suffering. That's how we get through the persecution and glorify God. Stay filled with the Spirit, mind prepared for action, learning the Word of God, obeying through faith, and praying continuously. Wash, rinse, repeat. So in closing of chapter 5 in the book of 1 Peter, we'll read the final greeting. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen to gather with you, sends you her greeting, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Greet one another with a kiss of love. We're in this together, y'all. We are ambassadors together. This doesn't call for us to go out and do it on our own. Stand firm. Resist the devil. It doesn't say go out and fight him. Please don't grab your sword and go out and try to fight the devil in your power. You will pay for it. We will pay for it. Fight the power with God's sword, with the Word of God. So that closes 1 Peter. So a summary of the Ambassador's Handbook. Know your identity in Christ, the new birth into a living hope, a future inheritance, citizens of heaven and not of earth. Act like an ambassador to the world. Our cause is Christ. Follow the laws. Respect authority as a witness to Christ. Witness to the gospel in our marriages. Stand firm in persecution. Support each other in the church. Maintain a clear conscience. Don't retaliate. Don't get angry. Understand that the persecution is here. Maintain a Christ-like attitude. Humble ourselves to the Lord. Serve each other. Put our faith in the Father's plan. Step up to our new responsibilities. Be a shepherd. Be a mentor. Be a leader. Be a teacher. Submit. Submit to the authority and the will of God and stand firm in the persecution. How? Stay filled with the Spirit. Seek God in His Word and seek God in prayer. So Pastor Maddox, as our shepherd, asked us to continue to be in reading of the Psalms. And so I would like to read Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5, and I'll ask you guys to read the rest at home. It's actually, as you all probably know, it's pretty awesome. And it shows the faithfulness of our God throughout all time, from the very beginning until the end. So if you'll turn with me to Psalm 105, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He has pronounced." May God bless the reading of His Word. We'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for the privilege, the honor, and the opportunity to be humbled by the opportunity to teach. Father, I just ask that Your Spirit will take these things that we've studied today, the Word of God, the power of Your Word, and just drill it down into our souls. Convict us of just pushing us back to the faith in Your Spirit, the desire for the study of the Word, and the understanding and the obedience in our faith. Father, we thank You for this church. We thank You for our faithful teacher. We thank You for Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross so that we may recognize our eternal inheritance. Father, I just pray that as a church body, as those who have been taught and have gold in our pockets of our soul, that You will convict us to reach out to others, to shepherd the flock, to teach the young, to take care of each other in our church and those in the body of Christ throughout the world. Thank You, sir, for all that You do for us each and every day, for Your blessings. In Christ's name, amen.